judging others is sometimes appropriate.
This is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible Rewind, coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the podcast that comes to you every single day, and we're reading the entire Bible together in a year. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. The website is lifespringmedia.com. Everything about LifeSpring Media is to be found right there. Today is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, which means it's also the longest night of the year. And that makes me remember why the world needs the light of the world. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Amen. It's also Play God Day. Yes, this is actually a thing. My friend Brian Duncan says, yes, there is a God, and I'm not him. And that gets another amen from me. I don't want the job. I'm just happy serving him. How about you? And finally, this is Epistle Sunday. Let's get serious here. We'll read 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, after which we'll have On This Date in Church History, and since it's Sunday, we'll have praises and prayer requests. Let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word. I pray, God, again, that you would teach us and that you would touch our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, when I was there, I could not talk to you the way I talk to people who are led by the Spirit. I had to talk to you like ordinary people of the world. You were like babies in Christ. And the teaching I gave you was like milk, not solid food. I did this because you were not ready for solid food, and even now you are not ready. You are still not following the Spirit. You are jealous of each other, and you are always arguing with each other. This shows that you are still following your own selfish desires. You are acting like ordinary people of the world. One of you says, "I follow Paul," and someone else says, "I follow Apollos." When you say things like that, you are acting like people of the world. Is Apollos so important? Is Paul so important? We are only servants of God who helped you believe. Each one of us did the work God gave us to do. I planted the seed, and Apollos watered it. But God is the one who made the seed grow. So the one who plants is not important, and the one who waters is not important. Only God is important, because he is the one who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose, and each one will be rewarded for his own work. We are workers together for God, and you are like a farm that belongs to God, and you are a house that belongs to God. Like an expert builder, I built the foundation of that house. I used the gift that God gave me to do this. Other people are building on that foundation, but everyone should be careful how they build. The foundation that has already been built is Jesus Christ. And no one can build any other foundation. People can build on that foundation using gold, silver, jewels, wood, grass, or straw. But the work that each person does will be clearly seen because the day will make it plain. That day will appear with fire, and the fire will test everyone's work. If the building they put on the foundation still stands, they will get their reward. But if their building is burned up, they will suffer loss. They will be saved, but it will be like someone escaping from a fire. You should know that you yourselves are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you. If you destroy God's temple, God will destroy you, because God's temple is holy. You yourselves are God's temple. Don't fool yourselves. Whoever thinks they are wise in this world should become a fool. That's the only way they can be wise. I say this because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he catches those who think they are wise in their own clever traps. The scriptures also say, "The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows that their thoughts are worth nothing." So there is not a person on earth that any of you should be boasting about. Everything is yours. Paul, Apollos, Peter, the world, life, death, the present, and the future. All these are yours. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you, or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why did you boast as if you had not received it? You are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless, and we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out, not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and a spirit of gentleness?
Well, in chapter 4 today, at the beginning of the chapter, Paul is reinforcing his qualifications with the Corinthian church. They didn't recognize his apostolic authority, so he's instructing them on his position and how they ought to think of him. He says that they should think of him and the other apostles as servants of Christ. Now, there are several different Greek words that we translate as servant. The Greek word used here is hyperetes, which is a subordinate servant working as a free man. The more common Greek word is doulos, which is a common slave. Hyperetes, literally translated, means under rower. Think of a big galley ship. They had many, many men who rowed, and an under rower acted without question, under the direction of the one in charge. In the apostles' case, they answered only to Christ. And then Paul said that the Corinthians should also think of the apostles as stewards. And a steward was the manager of a household. And in relation to the master of the house, the steward was a slave. But in relation to the other slaves, he was a master. Commentator Adam Clark put it this way. The steward was the master's deputy in regulating the concerns of the family, providing food for the household, seeing it served out at proper times and seasons, and in proper quantities. He received all the cash, expended what was necessary for the support of the family, and kept exact accounts, for which he was obliged at certain times to lay before the master. So, after laying this out to the church at Corinth, Paul told them that it didn't really matter much to him that they had such a low regard for him, since he answered only to Christ. And he said that not even his own judgment of himself mattered, but only the judgment of the one he served. So I'm bringing this out because without the proper understanding of the first five verses, one might think that it was wrong to judge anyone. And as you heard, chapter 5 clearly teaches that judging others is sometimes appropriate. Tomorrow is the Law Monday, and we'll read Genesis 36 through 39.
Value for value is, of course, what helps to keep the LifeSpring one-year Bible Rewind coming to you 7 days a week. There are no advertisers here, creepy or otherwise, and there will never be, because with advertising comes censorship. Most advertisers just don't want to be identified with the uncompromised teaching of God's Word. So I'm counting on you, the LifeSpring family, to support the show if you find value in the daily reading of the Bible and perhaps find encouragement in my comments. The amount of your support is completely up to what you think is appropriate. I ask that you pray about it, seek the Lord's will, and then go to lifespringmedia.com/support. A one-time donation, or weekly, monthly, or quarterly. I will thank you, and I believe that God will bless you.
lifespringmedia.com/support.
On this date in church history, December 21st. We'll start today in 1620, when the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Harbor after months aboard the Mayflower. Their journey was driven by a desire to worship according to conscience, even at great personal risk. Life in the New World would be harsh, but they believed obedience to God was worth the cost. Their story became part of the spiritual foundation of early American Protestantism and a reminder that religious freedom has often come through sacrifice. And next we move to 1703 with the death of Robert Boyle, one of the founders of modern chemistry, and the same Boyle behind Boyle's Law, which I vaguely remembered from my time in school as a biology major. And when I saw his name as I was putting this segment together today, I had to dig a little deeper to refresh my memory. Here's what Boyle's Law is, for those of you who might be interested. It states that for a fixed amount of gas at constant temperature, pressure and volume are inversely related. So in everyday terms, if you decrease the volume of a gas, in other words, if you make it smaller, its pressure increases. If you increase the volume, the pressure decreases. Well, that makes sense, right? It even sort of seems easy to understand, doesn't it? But Boyle published this in 1662. Many of the things that we take for granted had to be discovered at some point. Okay, moving on. Why is Robert Boyle in the On This Date in Church History segment? Here's why. Far from seeing science and faith as enemies, he believed that studying the natural world was a way of honoring its creator. He funded Bible translations and he wrote theological works alongside his scientific research, showing that loving God with the mind is part of faithful discipleship. For many of history's greatest scientists, faith wasn't the enemy of discovery. It was the motivation for it. Isaac Newton wrote, "The most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being." Johannes Kepler said, "I was merely thinking God's thoughts after him." Max Planck, the founder of quantum theory, said, "Both religion and science require a belief in God. For believers, God is in the beginning, and for physicists, he is at the end of all considerations." And Francis Collins, director of the Human Genome Project, said, "The God of the Bible is also the God of the genome." And astronomer Alan Sandage said he began as a believer, and then he became an atheist through his studies, and later concluded that the universe is too ordered and complex to exist without God. There are many more. Beloved, science is defined as the careful study of how the natural world works, based on observation and evidence. And since it was God who created the natural world, then it stands to reason, doesn't it, that there should be no competition between the two. And then we come to 1804, the birth of Charles Finney, a leading figure of the Second Great Awakening. This movement swept across America in the early 1800s, emphasizing personal conversion, moral responsibility, and the belief that faith should transform both individuals and society. Finney's preaching called people to decisive repentance and active obedience, and his revivals reshaped American evangelicalism. His influence also helped link Christian faith with social reform, including the abolition of slavery. Praises and prayer requests. I got an email this morning from Shellan J1, who wrote, "Hi, Steve. I did pray for Leanne when you shared her recent glaucoma diagnosis. I'm sorry I didn't send a message when the words would have brought some small comfort. Please know that there is a place in my heart for you and yours. God bless and Merry Christmas." Well, thank you, Shellan J. I'm not really sure how to say your name.
S-H-I-L-L-A-N-J-1, all one word. Shillanj, Shillanj, Shillanj 1. Maybe that's what it is. Shillanj 1. Sorry. Merry Christmas to you as well, and thank you so much. So yes, we are going to pray for the lovely Lady Leanne today. We have not yet gotten the results from the thyroid biopsy, so we don't yet know what's going on there. And as far as the glaucoma goes, she's not feeling as much pressure in her left eye, so it seems as if the eye drops might be helping with that. On February 3rd, she's going to have a test to see what her field of vision is, so that we'll have more data as to how much her vision has been affected by that glaucoma at this point. And then they'll be able to track whether or not it's changing over time, so that's good. And then we also need to continue to pray for Bill, who we heard from a couple of days ago. Work has picked up, praise the Lord, but he's also asking for more prayers for steady work and that his body will continue to handle this sort of work as he's not exactly a young man anymore. So, I certainly know what that's like. Let's pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we worship you. There is none like you. Your name is higher. Your power is unsurpassed. You are righteous. You are merciful. You hold everything in your mighty right hand. And Father, we thank you for answering our prayers for Bill, bringing work to him. And we ask in Jesus' name that you show him more new opportunities and keep him healthy and strong, Father. Allow him, Lord, to provide for his family. We pray for Leanne now, Lord. You know the needs. Because of your grace, we became aware of the fact that her thyroid is having some sort of trouble. So we are thankful for that. But now that we know, we pray that you would bring healing. Lord, we're asking for a miraculous healing. We have experienced your healing power before, and we humbly ask for another miracle. We know that you can and do still heal people with your healing touch. But if you choose for us to go through the medical process, we ask that all the right decisions be made for her treatment, and that whatever that looks like in the days ahead, that the outcome is a return to a healthy thyroid. And now, Lord, as for the glaucoma, we thank you that we found it before it was worse than it is. And we know that the doctors say that once the optic nerve has been affected, it can't get better. But we know that you are not bound by what the doctors say. You can heal sight. You can heal an optic nerve. And we ask for that healing, too. Jesus said that you have not because you ask not. And so, Father, we're asking in Jesus' name. We ask you to heal Leanne's glaucoma. We also ask that if the healing is not your will, that she will not lose any further sight. Leanne trusts you, Lord, and so do I. We know that your love for us is far more than we can grasp. So we put these things in your hands, Lord. We will not fret over them, Lord, but we will continue to ask for your healing touch, no matter which kind of healing you decide is right. Like I said, we trust you, because you have shown us so many times before that you are trustworthy. And now, Father, I thank you for the LifeSpring family. Bless each one, Lord. And for some, I know that this can be a really hard time of year. So for those people, Lord, I ask that you be particularly near to them right now. Hold them, Lord, in your arms. Let them feel your presence. And I pray for all of us, Lord, that we keep the birth of Jesus foremost in our minds as we celebrate this year. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness. Help us, Lord, to keep this greatest of all Christmas gifts as the main thing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, remember that every Wednesday and Sunday, we will be sharing prayer requests and praises. If you have a need in your life that you'd like the LifeSpring family to be praying about, or if God is doing something wonderful in your life that would be an encouragement to the rest of the family, the place to go is prayer.lifespringmedia.com. You'll find an easy-to-fill-out form there where you can tell me whatever you want me to know. I'll pray for you in my daily quiet time, and I'll rejoice with you in your praises. I'll share them here on the show. Just go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com or leave a text or voicemail right here.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
LifeSpring Family, Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.
The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.
The LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.